So welcome to the UK Monday Night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Kate R., speaking on the topic of the first part of More About Alcoholism. Take it away, Kate. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad you're here too. And it's nice to see a few faces that I know and welcome to those that I don't. My name is Kate. I am going to talk about food tonight, but I also had difficulty with alcohol, drugs, sex and love, codependency, food. I think that's it so far. Just currently working the steps in ACA, and it was this is one of my favorite parts of the book, actually, apart from Vision for You. So I was quite glad to, I printed off large. Look, I found it in really large. So rather than writing notes, I just printed it off and then highlighted some bits that I want to talk about. And I'm hoping if I talk for about 14, 15 minutes, then I might try and share my gym story with you. And I tried to look for it, the one I wrote last year when I went through the workaround food. And I couldn't find it because unfortunately my computer crashed and I lost a lot of stuff. But I'll read it out of the book and see if I can sort of turn it into food. So I'm glad to be here with you. The first bit of More About Alcoholism speaks to me, absolutely speaks to me. Most of us have been unwilling to admit that we're real addicts. And I think that was definitely my experience. I felt that somehow I would just kind of grow out of alcoholism, drug addiction. I would meet the right man. I would get married. I think that's probably because I'd seen my friends do that. Like, or they'd start a new job. They'd go to university and start a new job. And it would, you know, the drug use and the drinking would sort of fall away. It would, you know, just be odd binging at odd weekends, birthdays or whatever. Whereas I seem to continue and continue and continue. And with food, most definitely, I always knew I had a problem with food, even as a small child. But again, I just thought if I find the right diet or the right therapist or if I fall in love with the right guy or, you know, any of those things, then somehow it will just come right. And I realised that it wasn't going to come right. Oh, gosh. Around the year 2000-ish, maybe, I think. And I went to, I rang Alcoholics Anonymous, actually, and I said to them, to the lady, that the kind lady that spoke to me on the phone, is there a fellowship like that for food? And I knew about AA because my friend's mum had been sober for about 30 years at the time. And the lady said, there's something called Overeaters Anonymous. If you have a look online, I'm sure you'll find a number for it. I don't have it. I can't find it for you. But so I looked online and I found a number for Overeaters Anonymous. And I rang and spoke to this wonderful lady who suggested that I go to a meeting. And I've found a couple of meetings locally that didn't really sing to me. And then I found one a little further away, which I loved, absolutely loved. I mean, the people were just wonderful. There was about seven or eight of us, I think. They were great. We were a room full of really big people, apart from one lady who was really skinny. And not one of them had a sponsor. Not one of them had been through the steps. Not one of them had any intention of going through the steps. We basically just got together. We got together once a week for 3.5 years. I went to this meeting and just moaned about our families, explained how we were overeating. I put on something like 3 stones, I think, in that period of 3.5 years. But, you know, they were just lovely people and I loved them. We went away to conventions. When I think about it now, it's just laughable. We went to conventions, we went on retreats, which were holidays, and then eventually it all fell to bits when one lady slept with another lady's husband, and got pregnant and it all went to pieces, which was probably one of the best things that happened to me. So I came away with a fairly negative attitude towards 12-step fellowships. And I found, I went through spates of like really bad binging, dieting, binging, dieting, weight loss, weight gain, weight loss, weight gain. And I found a self-referral eating disorders clinic near me, and I referred myself to this place, and I got a fabulous therapist who I went and moaned to for 55 minutes twice a week. And she asked if I wanted to see the dietitian to talk about her food plan, and I said no. Yeah, I didn't really want physical recovery. I just wanted to whinge. I just wanted to whinge at people, and they allowed me to do that. But I don't think it was a waste of time, because I think it was all steps along the path to recovery. So I was definitely unwilling to admit that I needed Overeaters Anonymous, because I just thought, well, if that's 12-step fellowship, you can keep it, mate. And a bit further down, page 30, it says, the idea that somehow, someday he will control and enjoy his eating is the great obsession of every abnormal eater. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. And there were definitely spates of quite severe clinical depression, feeling suicidal, not just about my weight, just about generally about my life, I think, but weight gain and a complete lack of self-respect and self-love and self-care definitely contributed to that. We learned we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were addicts. This is the first step in recovery. And that came to a head when I had gained a lot of weight again. I was starting to get really desperate. The binging had stopped, but I was just grazing all through the day. And I was starting to have a few health problems. And so I looked up, I went to my GP, and he referred me to an eating disorders clinic locally to here. And I went and I had a fabulous psychologist who was just lovely. And she suggested that I get out in the evenings and do a course. And I did a course and bumped into a guy that I'd been at college with who was a recovered alcoholic in AA. And I started to talk to him about my eating, my drinking and my using, because I knew him and I trusted him and I saw the difference in him. And he suggested that I go to AA or Overeaters Anonymous. He suggested 12-step fellowship, and I went, yeah, I've done all that. And it didn't really work. And he was like, okay. He said, well, just bear it in mind. Like, I'm happy to take you to a meeting. Yeah, I sort of fobbed him off. And I went back to my therapist and I said, so I'm doing an evening course. She went, brilliant. What about something for your soul? Something for your spirit, some sort of meditation course or something like that. So I found this meditation group nearby and I went to a couple of their sessions and I bumped into a lady from Overeaters Anonymous who, because I shared about overeating, and she came up to me afterwards and she said, I'm in Overeaters Anonymous and there's a meeting on a Tuesday. I went, yeah, I'm busy on a Tuesday. She said, there's a meeting starting on a Thursday. I was like, oh, damn, I'm not busy on a Thursday. I said, thank you. And at that point, I think I was so desperate that I just thought this can't be coincidence. And I went along to the inaugural meeting of Toddington Overeaters Anonymous. And I got round to me to share. I opened my mouth. I said, Kate, compulsive overeater. I bawled for 5 minutes. I said, thank you. Everybody said, thank you. Kate handed me a box of tissues. That was my initial share. And I think at that point, just being around, you know, people that really get it around food, and I wasn't judged, and I heard their stories about the crazy things they did with food, and they, like us, were mixed addiction too. There were people there from AA and SLA and NA and CA. So, you know, there was a holistic approach to the steps. And I think that's where I first fully conceded to my innermost self that I was a food addict and that I couldn't go on the way I was. And I'd like to say that that was a nice linear recovery. It wasn't. I stuck at it for about 4 years, I think, and then I got busy. I went to university for a second time. I did a degree that I thought was going to fix me. I did a nutrition degree. I worked a program very hard through that, and then I couldn't get a job in nutrition, and I got very resentful at God. I'd incurred an awful lot of debt. Not as much debt as you Americans. I get it. I get it. My American friends always say, you guys have no idea what debt means when it comes to university. You're right. I've heard about how much it costs. But I'd incurred a lot of debt. I'd you know, gone down to working one day a week. And I just stopped working a program. I stopped working a program. I stopped praying. I wasn't really into meditating anyway. I was going to one meeting, AA meeting a week. I stopped going to OA. I kind of backed myself into a very lonely, dark corner. And it says, again, on page 30, we are convinced that alcoholics or addicts of our type are in the grip of progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And that was most definitely my experience. So the food, I thought that I could kind of cruise. There's a bit here, isn't there? I thought that I could cruise on yesterday's work, rest on my laurels. Here we are, page 33. This case contains a powerful lesson. They're talking about Mr. Carpet Slippers. Most of us have believed that if we remained abstinent for a long stretch, we could thereafter drink or eat normally. And what happened was that I sort of cruised for a bit. Food was okay for a bit. My mental health started to spiral down again. I found it very difficult at a few years around fellowships to be honest about how I was feeling. Friends could see it, offered help. I was like, no, I'm fine. I was completely in denial. Don't even know I am lying, my old sponsor used to say. And I got to the point where my 40th birthday, I was at university, and a friend had made a Victoria sponge cake for my 40th. And I hadn't eaten sugar for about maybe 6 years at the time. And I looked at this cake. They got it out at lunchtime. We went for lunch and then they got out the cake and they all sang to me and they all looked at me. And I thought, oh, one bit of cake. It's one bit of cake. It'll be fine. I've got all this. I know all this knowledge. It talks about, you know, in here. He'd gathered all this knowledge about his addiction. That was me. I knew a lot about the addiction. I knew a lot about myself. And yet somebody pushed a piece of cake across the table and I had no mental defence against it. It was just like, I'll be fine. And it was for about 2 weeks. And then I went out with my family for a nice dog walk. And we got to the cafe and I had more cake. And then the next day, more cake. And then slowly I'm eating sweets and chocolate and cakes and biscuits and lots of takeaway food, lots of deep fried food, all the stuff that sets me off. Next thing I know, I'm about 270 pounds. I'm pre-diabetic. The doctor is begging me to lose weight every time I go to see him, even if it's for a cough, a cold or a splinter in my finger. And I said to him, I've tried everything. He referred me to Weight Watchers. He referred me to Slimming World. He referred me back to the eating disorders clinic. They wouldn't see me. We tried everything. We tried every which way. I tried every single diet. I tried cutting out carbs, which lasts for about 2 days. I tried everything. And I came to the point where I surrendered to it, conceded to my innermost self. There is no point me trying. I'm just going to eat and eat and eat, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm going to die early. There's no way out of this at all. And then I had a friend ask me, I'd been through BBA with a sponsor in 2018 around alcohol and drugs. And a friend asked me in 2022 to take her through the BBA work after a relapse on alcohol. And he said to her, yeah, I need to dust off the books because I haven't looked at it for a while. Let me see if there's meetings available, because there have been telephone meetings available when I went through the work. And I found this, look, you beautiful people, this amazing online community. My first point of contact was Michael Kay. I logged on and Father Christmas was sat there looking at me. I was like, oh, this can't be bad then, if it's Father Christmas running the meeting. And I just liked it. I liked the energy. Is that my time?
5 minutes. 5 minutes remaining.
Thank you very much. I just liked it. I liked the energy. And I heard their recovery around food. And by this time, I'm listening to God enough that there's a little tap on my shoulder, like, you need to do the work. You need to do the work. So I did. I did the work last year with the wonderful Stephanie and a few other ladies in our homework group. Michelle N was our homework group leader. And I've found some recovery around food after 50 years of overeating and lots of therapy and lots of step work. It's not perfect. There are slips and trips along the way, but on the whole, food doesn't run my life anymore. Drugs, alcohol, sex and love, romance, codependence doesn't run my life anymore. And it's given me a wonderful, wonderful sense of freedom, because I think this time, well, probably not this time last year, but at the beginning of last year, I felt very trapped. I felt trapped at home. I live with my elderly mother who has dementia. I felt trapped in servitude to her. I felt trapped in servitude to fellowship. I felt trapped in servitude to my job. And I felt very trapped in the town that I live in. And now there's a lot more sense of freedom and a lot more sense of choice. And just that little bit of God-given power that when things don't go my way, I don't have to eat cake. I mean, that's a fucking miracle, frankly. It's a fucking miracle. And this year I picked up my 16-year chip in AA. Last year I picked up my 15-year chip and I felt like a newcomer because I was just partway into the BBA steps. I felt like such a fraud picking it up. This year when I picked it up, it really felt like 16 years of God-given grace. Yeah, and my faith, my dependence, my reliance continues to grow as I get more and more freedom around more and more stuff. And I'm hoping that the ACA work will add to that. It's very deep, very painful at times work, but it's definitely helping me in terms of boundaries and walking away from things that are not healthy for me. So yeah, I'm relinquishing a little bit of control. I'm letting God run the show just a little bit more. I trust, I feel, you know, utterly powerless at times, and it's quite a relief to know that I don't have to manage the whole universe, even when I really want to. So I don't think I have time to share on Jim, but I'm glad to be here with you, and thank you for letting me share more about alcoholism, more about addiction, and I'm so grateful for you, all of you, and also for this incredible process that we've been given. Thank you.